Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Knowing is Knowing. I'm your host, Rashad Young, and as always, I appreciate you guys tuning in to a brand new episode. As we wrap up the new year, I wanted to honor all the guests that have joined, and I have a couple episodes I feel like you guys will. My next guest is Miss Turner. This episode was so cool to me to connect with somebody in the space of therapy, therapist herself, and really navigating just the world of mental health, all the things we can do to really empower our communities a lot better, and as therapists, how do we best navigate different things. So if you're interested in the world of therapy or mental health or understanding how to be better within your community to be an activist or a game changer, this episode is for you. I appreciate y'all listening to this. As always, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on favorite audio platform and check out our information in the episode description. Till next time, peace. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining today's episode. I'm super, super glad to have this conversation. One thing I got a chance to learn about is that you are a therapist, which I'm super excited to chat about. I am a counseling trainer, so I'm not fully there yet, but I'm almost there. I'm almost at that next step. So I'm always super appreciative to talk to those within the same field as me. So how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. I appreciate you joining. So the first question that I ask my guests as we get to know you a little bit better is, who are you to the world?
Oh, I've actually never thought about that. Who am I to the world? I guess it depends on which part of the world that is. I am, to most people, I am a big sister, probably. So I'm the oldest of five kids. I am what they affectionately consider the bougie auntie. So I have a niece and nephew, and then like I'm just that person for my friends and family. So kind of full circle, I guess, to everybody that whatever they need in that moment.
Yeah. So growing up, I'm guessing you was like everybody's go-to person for like safety. So you was like everybody's therapist before you became one. Yeah.
Before I could get paid for it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, take me through that journey. So I know everybody's experience getting into therapy is unique. Some people, they knew right away. Some people, they had a crossroad in life where they took a different route. What got you into doing it? What's your area of expertise and all that good stuff?
Okay. So like the simple story is that from as long as I can remember, I said I wanted to be a child psychologist. I honestly have no clue how I came up with that idea because nobody in my family does anything with mental health. But really, like over the years, as I kind of got into like understanding it, it was really me trying to figure out the why for my own family. So I share the story enough to know that if they ever hear it, they won't be mad at me anymore. But I say my family is what caused me to become a therapist because they're crazy. Like I needed to understand what they were doing, what they had going on, why they were doing the stuff they were doing. Yeah. So it kind of just filtered from that. So I have a bachelor's in psychology. I have a master's in community counseling, and I'm currently in a doctoral program for community psychology.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How much time you got left with that program?
One more year.
Lord, you at the end.
Yes.
I'm sending you all the prayers. I feel the same way.
I appreciate it.
It's a journey, man. I always recognize the amount of work that is required to, one, to get into the space, then to be licensed, and then to get a doctoral. I can only imagine just another layer. I guess from a doctoral standpoint, what is your ultimate goal within that space?
So really, my plan is to use a doctoral degree to do more consultant work. So right now, like you said, I do the therapy component of it. I do some of the supervision component of it. So it's to do more of the consultant piece. I'm really big on training people for therapy services, especially Blacks. So I've always been big on the fact that there's not a lot of people in this space that look like me. And my training for it was very interesting. So I do not want other people to have to go through the unnecessary pieces.
That's real. That's the biggest thing I've been told, especially for me. It's like I'm a unicorn in the space because there's not a lot of black males in particular. So every time I share, they're like, "Oh my God, you know how many people are gonna be reaching out to you when you're done?" And the amount of need that is needed for that. Why do you think we don't get into this space a lot more from your perspective? What is it you think that's like holding us back from becoming more clinicians in the mental health space?
For the most part, I think it's because we don't know about it. So I think over the last few years, of course, therapy has been like a buzzword. So more people are getting into it. But I think my biggest thing has always been Black culture is rooted in religion. And so when we think about religion and Black culture, we are told to pray about it and we are told to give it to God. We're not told to seek out the resources. Most of us know nothing about mental health or talk nothing about mental health unless we're deemed to be crazy. So, it's hard to give somebody something that is looked at so negative.
Yeah, no, I think that's the biggest thing that I would agree with, especially the religion piece. I definitely know there's a gap in understanding. I would like to say that the younger generation, the generation I feel like I'm still in, where they're still trying to, therapy is a thing. Like it's something that we're taking a lot of pride in, and we're having those conversations and getting our parents involved and grandma involved and whoever. And their response often is, "Oh, I'm gonna just pray about it. Well, I need to go to therapy for it." And I always ask clinicians this question in particular because now me being on the other side, I understand like on why we do it, but also like why the work is important. So for the somebody came up to you and said, "Why do I need therapy?" What would you tell somebody? Like, how is it beneficial?
I think the biggest benefit is having an unbiased support system. So your therapist is like your cheerleader. And depending on the type of therapist you have, like if you have a therapist like me, I am like your cheerleader, but I'm also your friend to a certain extent, because I'm not your friend in real life.
Right.
But to a certain extent, our conversation just flows for the most part. So I give you that hard truth that you need to hear sometimes and that you don't want from your family and your friends. But I'm also there to support you through the things where you don't want to tell your family and friends because you're worried about what they're going to say and how they're going to respond to what you're going to say. So I don't think you come to therapy as a reaction. I think you come for preventative services, and that's what we kind of get people more engaged at.
Yeah, I got a follow-up question. It's a little controversial, but I'm always curious.
Okay.
Do you think, it's just my theory. Do you think therapy is meant to help people heal? Or do you think they ever get to a point of healing in its completest state? I say no, but I'm always curious.
I would agree with you. I think healing is a process, an ever-forming process, just like growing is an ever-forming process. So I don't think you'll ever be completely healed in what we say. What people believe we're talking about, I think that you can heal from a situation, but healing is a forever process.
Yes, thank you for proving my point of validating it. Because people are looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, I'm telling you, because there's so much that happens on in life, there's no way you can be completely healed from something because something else is going to show up in a different form. Like grief itself, there's going to be different stages of grief and forms of grief. There's no way that you can go to therapy alone to figure out how the grieving process is going to work because every situation with grief is going to look a little bit different. So, but no, I think it is an ongoing process. So thank you. Thank you
No
for providing
problem.
that perspective for me. As far as clients, traditionally, what type of clients do you see? Do you usually see women? Do you see kids, couples, a mix of all?
I see a mixture of clients, but I specialize in working with Black people, specifically millennials and Gen Zs is my specialty area, and a lot of work around like life transitions and relationships. My practice is a trauma-based practice, so a lot of our work is done in trauma-informed or trauma-focused areas.
Okay, so what would you say most of the people that come to you are coming to you for? Is it about those life transitions? Is it the uncertainty?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
See, is mm-hmm. the relationship problems?
A combination. A combination. I get a lot of the relationship stuff. So mm-hmm. I get couples, I get individuals that are, you know, thinking about whichever way they're going to go in their relationships. So I get a lot of the relationship stuff, but I also get like my Gen Zs probably come from more of the transition stuff. So, you know, coming from like that kid space into the adulting space and what that looks like.
Yeah. Let's transition to relationships for a bit. I'm always excited to like have this conversation. Okay. And also I just saw three clients about relationships. So this is great. What do you think is a key to a healthy relationship from your perspective?
I think there's multiple keys. Yeah, we have to have multiple keys. But for me, the biggest thing is like communication and transparency. If we're not transparent, if we're not communicating, effectively communicating with each other, then the rest of it won't matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about attachment styles? You think that's a thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will say this, though, about myself as a therapist. I recognize that I'm probably, and I just recognized this very, not too long ago, that I'm probably a little bit more pro-Black than I realized. so when I say that, I recognize that though we understand, like, our basic attachment styles, I think that if you look at it from a different lens, minority groups as a whole, I don't think it's just Black people. I think minority groups as a whole, there are some caveats into what each one of those things look like. So though attachment styles make a difference, I think that it looks different specifically for minority groups.
Okay. How so? Don't mind me asking a little bit more.
Okay. So like, let's just say like anxious attachment, right? So yeah. Clinically, you'll tell me that my anxious attachment derives from like certain things, and that it is my fear of, you know, losing out on this partnership in some type of way. So I attach to them in that way. Well, if I'm a person who's grown up in a marginalized community, anxious attachment may have to do with like my survival skills and not necessarily just about partnership. So if I've lived in a world where I've only had to survive, and I only know survival as opposed to being able to kind of relax, then I'm probably just an anxious person anyway. I probably already have trust issues and to a certain extent with people in general, not just in my romantic relationships. And I'm going to bring all of that in, and it'll be, I think sometimes it's harder to manage that. Because like if I'm a person who has had issues with the police, if I've had issues in my household growing up, you know, all of these different things, if I've witnessed like community-based trauma, then I'm going to see all of that, and that's going to go into my relationship style, not just my formulation of romantic relationships.
Yeah, no, I think that plays a big role. The experience, the community, where you may be located, like where you're mm-hmm. from. I didn't get a chance to ask, where are you from?
I'm in Chicago.
Oh, okay. I did it. Yeah, I just moved from Chicago. Ironically.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm from St. Louis, born and raised, and I lived in Chicago for a year, and then my high school back at home called me for a school counseling job, and I was like, all right, I gotta go. Oh, okay. So,
okay, that's fair.
Well, I'll go back. It wasn't like something I just wanted to do. Finishing school as well. I had some sites up there that my school wouldn't approve, and a lot of it was just because of the hours I was trying to work. So it kind of put me in a rock and a hard place. I enjoyed my time in Chicago. I lived downtown in South Loop. I enjoyed the overly priced, small, expensive apartment that I'll never do again.
But I enjoyed it
for a year. And a part of me, really enough, I just had like this wave of grief for Chicago. I don't know why, it just hit me out of nowhere. Where I was like, dang, I actually kind of miss it up there, man. Like, it wasn't that bad. It was cool. Hey, that's all right, man. Y'all fine, but you never know where life will bring. I will never say never, but I will never say I will never do a winter there again. So I don't know what that looks like as far as moving back, because that winter was brutal, man. Right by the lake too. That was rough.
Say that was because of where you live.
That's what everybody keeps saying. I'm like, okay. That's what I tell people. I said, so why sell it like such an elegant thing? Because y'all will talk about it in the summer. Y'all be like, oh, this is a great thing. You know, summer in
Right, summertime
Chicago.
shine's great.
Right. It's amazing out summer in Chicago. Didn't nobody say don't live there in the winter. When I looked at
Well,
apartments, they didn't tell me that. They said, you right by the lake. It's nice. It's cool. It's a great place to go ride your bike. They ain't say nothing about the winter. They ain't tell me nothing.
see, that was the people you was talking to the wrong people, because
I
I'm the
was.
person that tells you both. Like, I love me a good summertime shot. And I'm born and raised here, right? So I have been here for pretty much every winter but my undergrad career. So I love it here. I do not like winter though. I stay in the house in the wintertime. I don't go outside if I don't have to. Nobody talks about winter here.
Hey, one thing I found out about y'all as a city, and I have a lot of respect for it. Maybe because we the same way, but St. Louis, Chicago is like night and day. Y'all love y'all city, man. Like y'all love Chicago like it is its own country. Like the amount of pride y'all have there. I will never say I don't hate it. It was a part of me that did just because I'm just not where I'm from, but I respect that much of the fact that like y'all love y'all city like no other. Like y'all will rock it no matter what's going on. The whole city could be on fire. Yeah, I'm like, that's still my city though. Y'all love it.
Absolutely. You gotta have roots. You gotta have roots, and you gotta be loyal to those roots. So there you go.
I'm actually curious though, because Chicago is such an interesting place, and as massive as a city it is, I often think it is also still very segregated one, but the other part too is under-resourced, especially in the areas of which I'm thinking of, like in the Austin area. I won't say Hyde Park too much, but even in some pockets of Hyde Park, what I think they could be areas of improvement. So how do you think we can bridge the gap in creating those community resources for those underserved areas, especially like in a place like Chicago?
I think you have to get more understanding of the city as a whole. Like you said, Chicago is probably one of the, I don't know if it's at the top of the list for the most segregated, but it is one of the most segregated cities in the United States. And so people don't know that who don't live here, though. So I think people who don't live here hear about the gun violence, right? And so they believe, most people tend to believe that we like go outside and duck from bullets all day long, right? That's just what people's assumption of what we do every day. And I'm like, no, I don't. Nothing about me ducks a bullet as I'm walking to the store or as I'm driving, wherever I'm driving, right? So I think a lot of times it is that because that's the part that's heard about, then that's the part that people kind of zone in on. And you zone in on particular neighborhoods who have that particular crime rate. So I think bridging the gap is just about people understanding and bringing the resources into those areas. The other side to that is that the people in those areas need to be able to speak up and say what resources they need and they want. I find that that becomes a big thing. As an example, Inglewood is harped on all the time about like the violence in Inglewood and things like that. There are a gazillion resources in Inglewood. People don't know it though, unless you live in Inglewood. There's mental health services in Inglewood. There's medical services in Inglewood. There's resources in Inglewood because people were loud about it, and then they did what they needed to do to get it. So some of these other areas have to kind of just do the same and enforce the issue.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is these places do have resources. That's a valid point. So they do have them.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
People are utilizing them. I think that's another conversation. Yeah, now the more I think about it, it's like, yeah, no, there actually are places for people to kind of get those resources. They're just not taking advantage of it, which is really unique. And so, Chicago, like I said, is a very interesting place to be. It is, because, you know, unfortunately, I hate the stereotype that, you know, you feel like you got to go outside and you got to duck your head, you know. Maybe because I'm from here, from St. Louis, like the violence, I feel like is probably more talked about because we are a significantly smaller city. It's often the mentality of when you go here, you got to have your head on a swivel. And why you do is like there's several areas and pockets where it's kind of like, you know, it's not, I don't like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's a little disheartening, and especially in the past 24 hours because we just had a very significant tornado, which hit all of the, I would say more of the black areas in St. Louis, like the north side, the west side. And so a lot of people, homes and stuff are affected. So I started thinking about stuff like that. Like people are in a new state of grief in a sense. Like some people lost their family homes for a long period of time, or we never get that house again. Because in my mind now, you're going to have all these investors buy it up. They're worth nothing. So, it's sad to see. And I talked to one of my clients about that this morning because he was just like talking about how much heart felt for that type of grief, for have your entire livelihood just taken away in the blink of an eye. And those people feel like they have nowhere to go or have the resources for that, because as much as we're needed as clinicians, it's only enough time in a day. So I guess the question really becomes like, how do we create more of a community effort to really emphasize the importance of mental health, or I guess the encouragement of it? Because again, we mentioned the resources, but you know, again, like how do we try to find a way to make it more positive? I think that's the thing. And this, we still got that gap. It's not as bad as like our parents were, maybe grandparents, but it's still kind of like a stigma. Like, I don't want to even touch that. So how do you think we can do that better?
I think the best way to go about it is being able to meet people where they are, right? And I think as clinicians, that's what we are taught. That's what we're taught. That's what we think we're doing. But I think sometimes we got to check ourselves and see if we really are meeting people where they are. When I have therapy clients, I like upfront when I'm doing consultations or very first appointments, I tell people this is not like your traditional idea of therapy. If you're a person that's never been and you've only saw it on TV and they tell you to lay on the couch and all they say is, tell me how you feel, like that's not what therapy looks like with me. Because I've learned that for most marginalized communities, if all I ask you is, how do you feel? You're going to be pissed off at me. You're probably going to curse me out at some point. And you're not coming back because you feel like, you know, you're going to feel like if that was all I wanted, if somebody was just going to have me talk to myself or answer my own questions, then I could have just did that by myself. I didn't need somebody else. So you have to figure out what your client needs and be able to pinpoint to that. I try to do a lot of like community outreach type work so people can see a therapist that looks like them, who talks like them, who understands them, and then kind of buy into the individual parts. Because I think a lot of our identity is operated in group work. So if we do the group work, then we can get to the individual.
No, that makes total sense. Yeah, I'm thinking about if I had a therapist that just asked me how I felt all the time, I get mad. And again, similar approach. It sounds like you do more like person-centered. Yeah, and I kind of do the same thing. I'm just kind of like, we're just having a conversation, and I kind of pick in my spots on when I am going to interject myself in the sense of trying to help guide it, you know, because some of my clients, they just be rambling sometimes. And I'm like, you know, we got to get to like a point of like, where's the problem here? Because right now you're getting it out is great, but like, what is your objective? So I think that's cool. So I guess the next question I got to ask is, do you see a therapist yourself? Does the help go to get help? I think that's a big misconception that we don't.
I do currently. I can't say that I always have had a therapist, and probably off and on. throughout my career. But I do currently have a therapist that I do check-ins with like every other week because I need somewhere to get it all out too. Like my friends and my family may not always be the greatest sounding board. So yes, I do.
And how do you think you've been able to navigate burnout, especially in an industry like this where burnout is so high? People get into it and they get out of it. How have you been able to manage yourself to not, I guess, navigate through it better?
I try to be intentional. I can't say that I'm always 100% at this, but I try to be intentional about taking breaks. So I'm big on doing a vacation and completely shutting off like what I call my therapy hat. I'm also really big on boundaries with my person in my personal life. Like I'm not your therapist if we friends. And so you can call me, you can say something, and I'll listen. For sure, but I'm not providing therapy. So, I try to create those boundaries because this work is heavy and it is a lot. I sit on my couch and binge watch TV, when I can. So, I try to do like those little bitty things to regroup from having the heaviness.
Yeah, what is one piece of advice you would have gave yourself 10 years ago, knowing what you know now?
10 years ago. The fact that I had to count like how old was I 10 years ago. I would probably tell myself like to just be patient. Be patient. Like I think 10 years ago I was trying to like get everything done. Like I needed it to be done by this certain time. So I would just tell myself to be patient and like slow down. Take a break. Yeah.
What do you think was causing the rush, like the need to get to that next step, like from your perspective? And what was it that you were chasing, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure. It was just probably my own personal things. Like I've probably been an overachiever most of my life. I would not admit that to everybody, but I've probably been an overachiever most of my life. So it was kind of just checking the boxes. Like this was the idea I had for my life, and so I need to just check the boxes. And then I think for most people, 10 years ago, I was not 30 yet. So I think I had this idea that by the time I turned 30, I needed to have these particular things done. And it was like in personal life and career. So like career-wise, I was like, I needed to be, I think I was just almost finishing up with school. I had just finished my master's degree at that point. So finishing up a master's degree, I'm like, I got to get these clinical hours. I got to get this so I can get this exam done so I can get to the next step. Like all the pieces there. And then in personal life, it was like, you got to, be married and you got to have all the things. You got to have the White House and the picket fence and all the things. So it was rushing to get to those things.
Yeah, that chase of completion. I feel like everybody does that before they turn 30. I don't know. I just turned 30 a couple of weeks ago, and everything just changed. I'm just kind of like, what am I rushing for? You know, like
Yeah,
it's.
and once you get to 30, it don't matter no more. Then you just
I was
like,
kind of like, we just existing at this point. Whatever I can do to get to where I need to get to, because it's. I guess the ideas of what I thought was supposed to be just never happened in this way. And I guess when those things continuously not happen, it's like, do you actually want to be married? I do. But like at that point in time, I was questioning. I was like, do I want to be married? I want kids. I don't know. Sometimes I talk to my mom. I'll be like, hey, you're going to be. I guess I've always told her that I'm like, you're going to be an older grandmother. And I'm sorry. Not because I don't love kids. I do. I just think that I know what is required of a parent. And I want to be able to be in that position to be able to do those things. I never really want to be that parent to feel like I'm struggling, where I have to work so much, where my child doesn't have the time to see that, And that's not really a bad, I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think my perspective is just kind of like, I want to be able to be as present as I can, but also have some form of stability where I'm not worrying because childcare is outrageous. And
It
depending on where
is.
you live, depending on where you live doesn't make it no better.
Yeah.
That's why I moved. That's why I moved out of Chicago. I told myself, I gotta. I mean, again, if Chicago, look, if somebody want to offer me over $200,000, I come back. I feel like I gotta be somewhere where I'm able to live in a comfortable space. That's just the honest to God truth. A city like
You
that.
can make the money here. You have to be creative.
I know. That's
You
fine.
have to be creative.
I create a pathway. I told my mom, I was like, I'll go back if I make over 200.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you probably don't want to go live in the loop. So that's the other thing. You can't just go live in the loop. I live in the suburbs.
I can't do that, man.
I live in the
I
suburbs and I just
can't.
drive to the loop. No
I
big
can't
deal.
do that. That's not, I think to me, and I say this with so much respect,
Go ahead.
I enjoy Schaumburg and I enjoy those areas out there. But I was like, it don't feel like Chicago. Like when y'all talk about Chicago, when I used to meet people that are from Chicago, and they'd be like, "Oh, y'all live in Chicago," and then they'll tell me a small suburb. They're talking like Downers Grove or something. I'm like, that's
Okay.
not the city.
So you are absolutely right. That's not the city. And you're thinking north suburbs, which is much different. So I grew up in the city. I grew up on the south side. As an adult, I've spent most of my adult life in the south suburbs. Vastly different from Schaumburg and Downers Grove area, vastly different.
Two random places I just thought of out of all the places, and stick with me.
I definitely get it, but it's a little bit different. There is probably culturally, it's different. Yeah.
For sure. Perspectives, like I get that. Again, it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's the imagination in me when I think of like major cities. I've just always envisioned myself staying in the heart of the
In
city. Yeah,
the
like I just feel like that's the but I also know that downtown probably isn't a place to raise a child if you got a kid. Too busy.
I agree with you. That
Too
would be
busy.
my logic, is that your kid will be growing up in a high rise. They
That's
can't
a
do a
great
whole lot of
vision.
running.
Yeah.
It's aesthetically pleasing, but then they can't run around because your neighbor is gonna be mad.
No, they can't. You know, they like look bad. I got to move, but look, I like where I like. So no, it makes sense. Again, I have much admiration for the place, and again, I never know where things will lead me to. But if there ever an opportunity, I would come back at some point. I guess my final question for you that I'm always curious to ask all my guests: what does it mean to be human to you?
Wow, you come up with some good questions.
You know, I've been doing this
What
for a
is
while, man. It's just, I appreciate
what does
that.
it mean to be human? I would probably say that it is just about like being yourself and being able to be in space for other people, like being present and being in space for other people. So I'm big on connection. I don't think that any of us were created to be in this world alone. So how we show up and connect with other people is super important.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. That was a good answer. That was a good Chicago answer. Now I'm craving Portillo's. Now
That
I'm
sounds like a
mad.
really good meal right now. See?
Man, I ain't had Portillo's in a minute. Yeah, I'm okay. Let me stop before I make myself mad. Okay. I appreciate you joining. Where can people find you on social media?
I think all of my social media is the same. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at loading Dr. D underscore.
Okay. And we met, did we meet on Threads or was that on Instagram?
I don't remember either. Maybe Threads.
Don't
I
remember.
hop over there from time to time, but it's probably because I pressed it from Facebook or
Okay. No, cause, well, you know, can I put out a call action on Threads, and that makes sense. No, I think it was Threads, but no, I do appreciate you joining. Super excited to always connect with wonderful people. Obviously, best of luck to you as far as your doctoral journey. I know you're at the end. I know that's a grind itself. Well deserved. I'm gonna start mine next year. Not psychology though. I'm doing education. I can. No.
It's okay.
Yeah, no. I have aspirations of owning my building or owning my own school one day.
Oh,
So,
that's cool.
yeah, we got. That's why I gotta make some money, man. Yeah, I want
That's right. That's see,
to.
that's once you do that, then you can live in the loop.
Right.
I got the vision. I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanna build my own school. I don't somebody asked you where, I don't know. I mean, St. Louis got a lot of private schools. I mean, I'm very proud of the school that I work at, that I went to. So I don't know if everyone to compete with that. But this is always a need for a place. Wherever God will lead me to, if that's ever the opportunity, I wanna just build a school, man. I think we gotta schools gotta change. Social economic, not social economic, social emotional needs to be implemented in the schools. Building the entire whole student needs to be put into schools. I'm tired of institutions creating schools based off of kids learning basic core subjects that they can use ChatGPT for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If
So,
I had ChatGPT when I was a kid, I would be a genius.
yeah, I've been at Harvard, man. We've been everywhere, you know. So that's the thing. It's like how do we create that healthier, a healthier space, and also make it accessible. Like when I think of Chicago, it's the last thing I'll say. I think of Chicago, like you think of those premier schools, like Whitney Young or like a St. Ignatius or like a Loyola. Like every kid, well, even though Loyola's like Evanston, that's all the way up there. That's not really in Chicago either, but those are considered like premier schools, right? Where a lot of kids, most of those kids, especially how y'all. Last thing I'll say, another last thing I'll say. How y'all do? Y'all school selection process for high school is so backwards. I don't like the lottery style system.
I'm agreeing with you.
It's fair, but it's also not, because we got to keep it a buck. It's like we know how selection processes work. So I used to work at, you ever heard of Chicago Jesuit Academy? I don't kind of work there no more. Yeah, okay, that's why. Yeah, I worked there last year. That's what I said. Which I loved. I love CJ. CJ was a great school. I had nothing with the school. I don't think I'll ever find another school like CJ. But I learned a lot in that year about Chicago public schools, and just the whole process. And I'm like, this is a problem.
I will say that has not always been the process.
No,
And this is
no.
probably dating myself, but when I went to high school, and I actually end up not going to a CPS school for high school, but I got into the CPS schools that I tested in, which was Jones. It was called Jones Commercial at the time, but it was Jones Preparatory now.
John Jones Prep in downtown.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, good school. Yeah, good
Yeah,
school.
so like one of at that time it was like one of the top schools, like Whitney Young Jones Prep was like counting in that
Yeah,
same line. I
1A,
don't really
1B.
know what I don't know where their stats are now, but it was not the same process as it is now. Like they've added all of these extra caveats to it, which does make it difficult, and I think it's crazy, but it also speaks to Chicago's ideals around, or our very silent ideals around segregation.
Yeah, that's all it is. We're not gonna talk about that. I don't, you know, people I still know still work at these places. That, you know, just in case, I might call them. And I'm looking to go
Yeah,
somewhere. I remember
so
what you
yep.
said. Remember
You
what you
can't hear me
said.
talking about their schools out there now. I don't
Nah,
have kids, so I can talk about their schools.
look, all y'all have great institutions. I'm just expressing my opinion on how y'all operation works. Cause it's not right, but it's okay. I get it. Well, anyways, thank you again so much.
No
For those
problem.
who are
Thank
listening
you.
and will be listening, make sure to subscribe to the pod on favorite audio platform. I'll put our information in the episode description. As always, it's been great. Until next time, peace.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.